Hello and welcome to the First Pres Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Today, Pastor Clint Tolbert talks about Matthew 25 verses 31 to 40, and welcomes Gerald Lorenzo to tell us about Compassion International. Let's hear today's message.
We this morning are taking a bit of a break from a series based on the Nicene Creed, this ancient creed that is celebrating its 1700th anniversary this year. The creed highlights the character and attributes of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we've been following the cues of the creed into the scripture. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the person of Jesus, the Son, for the last time, and specifically considered the words of the creed that call us to recognize that Jesus has promised to return. And we looked at Matthew chapter 24 to understand in greater detail, what does that mean? And how should we respond? Now, if you're looking at Matthew 24, you might recognize and remember some of what we talked about. Let me highlight those for you. Namely, that Jesus says, believe it, I will return. I will return, and when I return, my kingdom will be established in full. Until then, he said, you will face trouble. Like a woman going through labor, there will be all sorts of pain in the world, because even as Jesus' kingdom is breaking in, we still live in a fallen world. And so you'll experience war and poverty and injustice and all of this stuff. And some might want to say, see, look what's happening there. Obviously, Jesus is about to come back. He's going, don't be fooled. No one knows when I'm coming back. Remember, Jesus even said, he, the Son, doesn't know. Only the Father. And that blew all of our minds, right? He said, here's the thing that I want you to do. Keep watch. Keep watch. And then he shared a parable to help us recognize there's a couple of ways you can keep watch. You can keep watch like I did when I was a kid and mom said, clean up your room by the time I get back. And I looked out the window. Do you remember that story? And we can try to keep watch like that, which a lot of people are. They're reading the news and seem to be overly occupied with the signs of the times and the dates and the... Or you can keep watch like the faithful servant who was put in charge of his master's business, who's given privileged responsibility and just gave himself to that work so that when the master came back, he or she didn't have to worry about it because the master would find them faithfully serving. That's the way we're called to keep watch. Well, that still doesn't paint a super clear picture. And so Jesus continued on. And if you notice in the scripture, in chapter 24 and then into 25, he gives some different pictures or parables about what that should look like. What does it look like to be ready for Jesus to return and his kingdom following him? And Matthew chapter 25... verses 31 through 40 help to paint that picture. And so I'm going to read it. It's not even the full picture. If you keep going after 40, you'll see the contrast of what we'll read. But I'll leave that for you to read on your own. But we'll read Matthew 25, 31 through 40 together after we pray for God's Spirit to bless and lead us as we do. So let's do that now. Holy Spirit, we give thanks for your presence in our midst. You are the one who teaches us what God's word means. You are the one who presses it on us in a personal way. You are the one who uses the word to teach, correct, rebuke, and encourage, all that we might be equipped to be your servants, your sons and daughters, your people faithfully waiting for your return. And so, Holy Spirit, would you help us now as we read the word and as we hear Gerald's story? Lord, would you speak to our heart that we might hear and faithfully respond. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. Jesus says these words, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, we're asking the question, what does it look like to keep watch? It's interesting, I think, to note in what we just read that those who were commended by Jesus, by the king, didn't even recognize that they were faithfully responding to the responsibility that Jesus had given them. Jesus says, "Come, enjoy my celebration." And they went, "What? Why? What did we do?" And he said, "Well, when you responded and to serve those in need, you were really responding to me." It was something that wasn't terribly easy for them to understand or see, and it's something that's not necessarily easy for us to understand or see. Again, God entrusts us with all sorts of responsibilities and privileges in serving his kingdom. I was thinking about my life, or my wife and I. One of those, obviously, is to raise our children as best we can to know the love and grace of Jesus, to help them follow him and respond to his call on their life. And we've tried to do that every day, and guess what? We've failed every day in our own strength. But God is gracious, and God is the one who has led them. I just give thanks for the ways that they are deciding to follow him. If you know our family well, you know I've got two boys, two girls, and we're in this season of kind of launching our kids. We have three that are in college. Two of them should graduate this May, I hope. One of those will get married. One just graduated high school. Another's just a year away. And it's, boy, what a joy to recognize the privileged responsibility God gave us and the honor it is to kind of raise these kids in the Lord and send them off. You know, one of the ways we tried to fulfill that responsibility when they were young was through Compassion International, a mission partnership organization that I was introduced to in my former church when my oldest kids were 2 and 3 years old. We felt led by the Lord to sponsor a child their same age, not only to serve that child somewhere on the other side of the world, but to introduce our own children to God's heart for the poor and those in need, to encourage our kids to write to our sponsored children, to, when we could, go with our church to see what real poverty looked like. And I give thanks to God for that. And in this season where we are we are celebrating what God is doing in the life of our own kids, it is a special blessing to be able to celebrate what God is doing through some of our sponsor children. Again, we sponsored a child for each one of our own children about their age. And so as our kids are graduating, guess what? So too are our sponsor children. I just got this letter in September that Wilbert, down in the Dominican Republic, has graduated from his compassion program, I think has graduated from high school, or taking his steps into adulthood. Wilbert was my son Owen's kind of partner, and we get to celebrate with him. With Lily, we celebrated with Nicole. With Shannon, we celebrate with Ashley. That's her name. It's a privilege. There is the possibility that we could read a text like this where we go, the king separates the sheep and the goats. And we look at that wrongly and go, boy, if I don't shape up, I'm in trouble. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. He's saying, look, I am breaking into this broken world and I'm bringing my kingdom with me. And you who have recognized me for who I truly am, and who you who see what I'm doing, are given the privileged invitation to participate in my rescue mission to the world, and to see what it feels like to be a part of redeeming and serving and rescuing and blessing and sending those I have called. And so once again, I'm just so grateful to God that we've got to be a part of this. I'm grateful that we've been able to introduce it to the congregation and so many of you have responded. I'm grateful for what God is doing in the lives of so many children, many of whom I don't even know. But Gerald was one of those children. And he is here to share with us his story that you might begin to get a glimpse of how God uses this ministry. And so, Gerald, if you'll come on up. I got to hear Gerald in the first service. I believe you will be blessed. And so I want to pray again for God's blessing as he then shares his story with us. Lord, thank you for bringing Gerald into our midst. And we thank you for the ways that you moved in his life and continue to move, that you blessed him not for his own sake, but you blessed him to be a blessing to many. That's the way you work with all of us. And so, Lord, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear your word through Gerald this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, church. It is a blessing for me to be here and share with you a little bit about my story. As Pastor mentioned, I am a former sponsor child of Compassion International, which means that I was part of a Compassion Center when I was a child. And today I got a goal, and is to share with you a little bit about my story before Compassion, during Compassion, and after Compassion International. So I'm so excited to be here, and I hope that you can enjoy my story. There is a way that I love to start sharing my story, and is talking about a conversation that I had with my mom a few years ago. I asked her for her story, and there was a reason because I decided to do that, and it was that I wanted to understand my own story. And I was thinking, like, probably a good way for me to understand my story is asking her for her story. So two things that I discovered about my mom's story. One of them is that she was abandoned by her mother when she was a child, and that she met her mother at the age of 19 years old. The second thing is that she defines her father as a great man, but at the same time as an abusive man. I always say that I don't know how a person can define another person in both ways, but she said that this is the way that she wanted to remember him. So my mom, at the age of 20, due to the situation that she was living, she just decided to leave her house trying to find a solution. And she was thinking that that solution was going in a man. And that's the moment when she met my father. So I was born, and something happened, and it was that 4 years after, my father, he just decided to leave the house, and my mother, she had to raise my brother and me all by herself. For me, that means that everything started to change in my life because we had to deal with extreme poverty, with no money to eat, no money to dress, and no money to have an education. I always say that unfortunately we grew up in a lousy neighborhood in Santo Domingo where drugs, illegal weapons, crimes, and poverty were like my daily bread. And during my childhood, I saw how the traffickers were selling drugs in the corner by my house every day. So some things that I face about me and about my childhood, one of them is that I had to knock the doors of my neighbors and ask them for empty bottle of Coca-Cola and exchange those empty bottle for bread and milk at the grocery store. Another thing that I remember is that I didn't have a bed to sleep on. I had to sell juice and empanadas on the street when I was a child. I had to sell hot chocolates and cookies 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning to try to get some money to help my mom. And I remember having conversation with my mom saying, hey, Gerald, today we just got 10 Dominican pesos and we need to choose between you using that money for breakfast or using that money for transportation. Which means that the day that I took the money for breakfast, I had to walk around 45 minutes to go to my school. And the day that I took the money for transportation, I didn't have breakfast. I also remember seeing my mom crying after me asking her if she was, the word is, you know, when someone decided to buy something like some food and you split that food between your two kids, and then I was asking her, hey, did you eat? And the answer of my mom was, yes, I already eat. And then I was finding my mom in a corner of the house crying. And the reason why she was crying is because she was lying to me, because the only thing that she found, she was just splitting that food for me and my brother. So I remember those kind of moments in my life and seeing my mom crying because of that. My father, he was a police officer and he never had time for me. He never called me to say happy birthday. He never called me to say something special to me. Not only me, to my brother too, you know. But there is something that I remember that it was very frustrating to me. And it was that one day I decided to call him. And after like 14 attempts, he just decided to pick up the phone and I talked to him and I say, hey, I'm calling you because we need some money to buy food. And the answer of my father, it was, okay, go to a police department. I'm going to wait for you over there. And the long story short is that when I arrived to the police station, 7 a.m. in the morning, my father wasn't there. And I was waiting for him from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. and he never showed up. And I always say, I don't know if you can imagine a child in the parking lot of a police station waiting for his father to get some money to buy food, waiting around 9 hours. That was my case. That was me. I was one day in that place. So one of my dad co-workers, he was there and he said, hey, are you Lorenzo's son? And I say, yes. And he said, let me call your father. And he called my father. And I remember that conversation because I talked to him and I say, hey, I've been here since this morning. It's been around 9 hours waiting for you. I haven't had breakfast. I haven't eaten anything. And I am here since 7 a.m. in the morning. And the answer of my father was, go back to your home. I'm going to call your mom. And I remember that I talked to him and I say, hey, I don't know if you hear what I say, but I'm telling you that I've been here since this morning. It's been 9 hours. I haven't had breakfast. I haven't eaten anything. And the answer of my father was, what do you want me to do? I haven't eaten anything either. Just go back to your home. I don't care about you. So I remember that moment, and I went back home to my home. And I just remember that when I arrived to my home, I fell down into my knees. And I started crying. And I started praying to the Lord. I don't know why I decided to do that at that moment. But I started praying and I say, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you that I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. And I was promising the Lord so many things at that moment. I was like, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you that I'm going to help my community. I'm going to open a foundation. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, but please help me. So my mom, she was desperate. She didn't know what to do. She was crying almost every day. And someone talked to her and say, hey, try to go to a Christian school that is close to our community. Probably those person, they can help you. And my mom went to that place, and those person from the Christian school, they say, oh, we can help your child with a 50% of a scholarship. But try to go to this Christian church. They have something that is called Compassion. Try to see if they can help you. So my mom went to that church, and the person of Compassion, they went to my house, and they just figured out that I was a child that was in need at that moment. And they say, okay, we need to help him. Let's see if we can find a sponsor for him. So they put me in a list of possible child that can be a sponsor. They took some pictures about me, and they created a child packet, and then they sent that child packet to London, United Kingdom. And in London, United Kingdom, a man under the name Brian Bilson, when he saw my packet, he said, okay, I want to sponsor Gerald Lorenzo from the Dominican Republic. And that was the best, one of the best moments of my life, because we found a place that provide food, uniform, and transportation. But I always say that we found a place that provide the best of the best, and it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thanks to that action, I can say that my mom, my brother, and I, we meet Jesus Christ through Compassion International. I always remember that my first bed was gifted by Compassion when I was a child. It was what you call like a bunk bed. And the reason why is because when Compassion went to buy that bed for me, they say, okay, the one that is a sponsor is Gerald, but his brother is also sleeping on the floor. Why we don't buy something that can benefit both of them? So Compassion not only focus on the child, they focus on the family of that child. And that was what happened with me. My elementary studies were paid by Compassion when I was a child. And many people say, Gerald, did you meet your sponsor in person? And the answer is, I never met him in person. But you know that Compassion has something that is called letters. And through the letters, we create a bond of a father and son that I never knew before. And when my father never called me to say happy birthday or say something special to me, I was always, every year, receiving letters from my sponsor, just letting me know, hey, Gerald, we are here in London, United Kingdom. It's Christmas time. We just want to let you know that you are so special for us, that we are praying for you, and that the Lord has a big plan for you and for your family. When it was time to go back to the school, he was always sending letters to me and saying, hey, Gerald, we are here in London. My family and I, we are praying for you. We know that you are going to go back to the school again. Just be safe, and we are praying for you, and that the Lord has a big plan for you. And I always say that I know that he was right, because thanks to that type of action is that I can say that I am here today. My life is not like a roller coaster anymore. I am married to a beautiful woman from the Dominican Republic. Her name is Vanessa. I got two beautiful baby girls, Valerie and Victoria. Valerie, she is 6 years old. Victoria, she is 3 years old. And some of the things that I love about sharing my story is that thanks that one day someone decided to show me evidence about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to repeat the same story as my father. Thanks to the intervention of Compassion in my life today, I have a bachelor's degree in business management. I got a certification in Christian leadership. I am serving in my church as part of the impact team. I am also working as an immigration paralegal to a law firm here in the United States, helping people from my community. So, like I say, you know, when Jesus Christ came to your life, it is not only to give you food, uniform, and transportation. It is to change everything in your life. Many people say, Gerald, what about you and your father, the relation between you and your father? How is that relationship now? In 2017, unfortunately, my father, he passed away. But 7 months before that happened, God allowed me to go to my father's house, talk to him about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and forgive him. The other, a few years ago, someone said, Gerald, tell me about what Compassion did for you. And my answer was, I'm going to let you know what Jesus Christ is still doing in my life through Compassion International. And it was because my mom, she was diagnosed with something called Chiari Malformation type 2 during the COVID season. And that was like, that's like a little tumor in the spinal cord, and it needs to be performed by a brain surgery. And I remember that my mom called me and said, Gerald, there is a doctor here that want to talk to you. And I talked to the doctor, and he said, listen, your mom has this condition. If we don't act quickly, she's going to start losing her body nerves, and she's going to stay in a wheelchair. And I was like, okay, what do we have to do? And he said, well, I don't have a specialty in that kind of surgery, but we need to find a good doctor, you know, that can perform that brain surgery for her. So I asked my mom to come here to the United States. We went to see a doctor in Miami. I was looking for those doctors that end with a, you know, MD, PhD, and all the D's at the end. trying to find a good doctor. So we found a good one. And that doctor, he said, okay, listen, we need to act quickly, but we got a problem. And I say, okay, what is the problem? And he said, well, your mom doesn't have medical insurance here in the United States. And I was like, okay, I always say that probably I was thinking in Dominican pesos that has less value than dollars, you know? And I say, that's not a problem, how much it is? And he say, well, if you have $55,000, we can prepare your mom, and in 2 weeks, we can perform the brain surgery for her. And of course, that was an amount of money too high for us. Like, I look at him and I say, well, we don't only got a problem, we got a big problem right now. But I look at my mom and I say, I don't know how the Lord is going to provide, but let's trust in God. So she went back to the Dominican Republic, and 3 weeks after, she called me and she said, Gerald, I am here in a medical appointment. I mentioned your name, and there is someone here that say that she knows who you are. And the long story short is that when she say, I need to call my son in the United States, his name is Gerald Lorenzo, there was a person in this office that said, did you say Gerald Lorenzo? And my mom said, yes. And that person said, was Gerald Lorenzo in the Compassion Center with Compassion International? And my mom said, yes. And she said, is Gerald Lorenzo now living in Fort Lauderdale, Florida? And my mom said, yes. And she said, listen, if you are Gerald's mom, you are like my mom. Call him. I need to talk to him. So my mom called me. I talked to that person. And she said, Gerald, did you remember me? It's Nugent Lee Vargas. And I say, of course, I know who you are. And she say, okay, listen, did you remember when we were part of the Leadership Development Program of Compassion International, that we were together at the Compassion Center? I say, yes, of course, I know those moments. I remember those moments. She said, well, you were a student in business management, but I was a student in medicine. And I am calling you because your mom is in my office, and I am a neurosurgeon today. And she say, I am going to be the one that is going to perform the brain surgery for your mom, but because your mom is like my mom. Church, a former sponsor child of Compassion International, was the person that performed the brain surgery for my mom in the Dominican Republic 3 years ago. You know how much do we pay for that surgery? Nothing. $0. Because when the balance came to our table, the administration, they say, no, the doctors say that they are not going to charge you anything. So God is using a former sponsor child of Compassion and so many sponsor child of Compassion to save so many lives in the Dominican Republic. And she's one of them. She's just 33 years old, and God used her to save my mom's life. When you sponsor a child, you are not only sponsoring a child. This is not about food, uniform, transportation, as I always say. This is not a monthly subscription like Netflix. This is a life-changing. When you sponsor a child, you are changing a life as my life. You are impacting a family as my mother, my brother, and I, but at the same time, you are transforming an entire generation as my wife, my baby girls, and all the youth guys that I have the opportunity to work with. And I want you to keep something in your mind, because you are part of that, and it's that Jesus and the church are more powerful than poverty. So thank you so much for having me here. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to share my story. And I hope that you have enjoyed my story. Thank you.
Let's give them. As Gerald was sharing, another of Jesus' parables came to my mind about the kingdom of God. It's that parable where he said, like a seed that dies and falls to the ground and multiplies beyond any measure that you can count, so too does Jesus work through one who is willing to sacrifice and serve and give their life for others. I mean, I hope you heard that it's not just about sponsoring a child like Gerald, but Gerald is now raising a family. Gerald is now helping those who are wrestling through all of the challenges related to immigration and all of that. God has multiplied his kingdom life through Gerald. And for that, we give thanks. And we give thanks for your sponsor, who we don't even know. Brian was his name.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.